I want to consider with you today the difference between the law and the gospel. The difference between the moral law of God and the gospel. Because there is a difference, as the verse relates. But let me say at the very start that the difference is not the difference between the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament scriptures. That's not the difference between the law and the gospel. It's not the case that the Old Testament is all moral law and no gospel, and somehow the New Testament is no moral law and all gospel. That's not how to read the Bible. The moral law and the gospel is in the Old Testament. And the moral law and the gospel is in the New Testament. So we're not talking about the differences between the Old Testament writings and the New Testament writings. That's not the way to read the Bible. The law and gospel is in both Testaments. The gospel, it is true, is clearer in the New Testament. That is true. But it is still in the Old Testament. In fact, we read there, the gospel was preached unto Abraham. And Abraham was saved by the faith of the gospel. He wasn't saved by the law. I mean, that's the whole point of Galatians chapter 2 and chapter 3, what Paul is bringing out. So we're not talking about a difference between the scriptures of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Abraham and the Old Testament saints were saved by the gospel. They weren't saved by the law. They were saved by the gospel. Just as New Testament saints are saved by the gospel. They are no more saved by the law than we are. Everyone is saved by Christ. Everyone is saved by faith. And everyone is saved by the gospel. Shadowly set form in the Old Testament and clearly set form in the New Testament. But they're still saved by the gospel. Because Jesus is the head of the whole body of Old Testament and New Testament saints. And so whatever the difference between the law and the gospel, the law and the good news of salvation, whatever the difference between them, that same difference exists in the Old Testament as it does in the New Testament. And Galatians 2, verse 16 really sets that about. On the one hand, there's law. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but on the other hand, there's this faith of Jesus Christ. That's just another name for the gospel. Not justified by the works of the law, but justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith that believes Christ, the faith that embraces the gospel. Christ is the heart of the gospel, and faith is that which receives Christ in the heart of the gospel. And so both here are set forth in the verse. There's a law, and there's a faith of Jesus Christ. And Paul refers to that twice in the verse. So we have law and gospel. But clearly there is a difference between the two. We read there in chapter 3, verse 12, the law is not of faith. Now, of course, you believe the law, you believe the commandments, but what Paul is saying here, the law is not gospel faith. It's not the gospel. And the gospel is not the law. There's a difference. And knowing the distinction and the difference between them, men and women, is very important. In fact, I would say it's vitally important to know the difference and the distinction between the law and the gospel. To confound them or to mix them leads to great error. Theodore Beza, the successor of John Calvin, said, "Ignorance of this distinction between the law and the gospel is one of the principal sources of all abuses which corrupt and still corrupt Christianity." And Beza was right. This is at the heart of all error, not distinguishing between law and gospel. He hit the nail on the head. He was quite correct. And many men like him have said that popery has corrupted Christianity because of the breaking down of the distinction between law and gospel. Apostate Protestantism has corrupted Christianity because of the breaking down of the distinction between law and gospel. And anybody that teaches works salvation does the same. To confound the distinction between the law and the gospel is to be confounded about the very heart of the matter of salvation. To not know the difference between the law and the gospel is in actual fact not to know how to be saved, or how a man can be just with God. And so this was a great error of the Galatian churches. We're not going into that today, but this was at heart the great error in the Galatian churches. They did not distinguish between law and gospel. They began to mix them. A bit of both. To be right with God. They began to mix them, and they were in a confused state because of this. Antinomianism, it does away with the law altogether. Just takes it and just throws it out the window. We'll hear nothing more of that. That's not what the Bible teaches. And then legalism, on the other hand, it takes the gospel and throws the gospel out and says we'll just keep the law and we'll do our best to please God. That's legalism. Work salvation. Both are wrong. And then there's another view, and this was the position of the Galatians. They take the both of them and they mix them up and they mingle them together, and both are needful for salvation. That's wrong too. True Christianity distinguishes between them and gives both of them their proper place. And that's what Paul's doing in this epistle, and that's what I want to endeavour, the Lord helping me, to do this morning, so that you will be clear people of God in your own thinking and mind. Mingling law and gospel is not only a great error, but let me also say it's a very dangerous error. It's what has destroyed Christianity. It's what has made popery what it is. It is what has made apostate Protestantism what it is. It's a very dangerous error. Jesus will not share the glory of his salvation with anyone. He'll not even share the glory of his salvation with the works of the law. Paul makes this very clear, for example, in chapter 5 of Galatians and verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. But I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. So a man who's looking for the law at any degree or at any angle to be right with God, the minute a man looks to the law, in whatever form, to be right with God, he jettisons Jesus Christ. And that's a dangerous error. Because the only Savior is Jesus Christ. And there is no salvation apart from him. And he will not share the glory of his saving work with the works of the law. Christ must be all and in all for salvation. That's what Paul is saying here. So if a sinner relies on his doing, on his obedience, on any works that he does, whatever, a person who does that is not relying solely on Christ. And if he's not relying solely on Christ, he is depriving himself of the righteousness of Christ that justifies. And he is building on his own righteousness, which cannot save. So it's a very dangerous error, isn't it? It will bring a man to hell if he's going to build on his own righteousness and not be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. I also deal with it this morning because I believe that this confounding of law and gospel is a chief cause of lack of assurance among God's people. And so I deal with it pastorally, in a sense, this morning for the people of God, for their assurance. Because you cannot have assurance if you are confused on law and gospel and distinction between the two. This is why many Christians are lacking assurance and are often alarmed about their state. They have not carefully attended onto the matter of distinction between law and gospel. You see, the moment a Christian builds his comfort on the law on his performances, on his obedience, on what he does, and not wholly on Christ, on Christ's surety works, his righteousness, then he loses his tranquility. When he gets his eyes off Christ to be right with God and begins to get his eyes on the law to be right with God, then he goes into an area where he will certainly lose his tranquility and assurance. He will falter. He will lose comfort, having got his eyes off Christ, his Redeemer, his head. He will become despondent and fearful, and he will say things, am I obeying enough? Am I perfect enough? Am I doing enough? And of course the Christian sins and the Christian is imperfect, and if he gets into this state of mind where he desires, must think that he must be perfect to be right with God, if he gets into that kind of thinking again, he is going to lose his assurance. Of course, there's no peace by looking at your doing. There's no peace by looking within. That's not how you're saved. It's by looking to Christ, and that's how you're comforted as well, by keeping your eyes on the Redeemer. So Christian who's confounding the two can never get assurance. He will never get comfort from blending Christ and the law. The Christ for comfort is the only grounds of our salvation, and the assurance must be the same. The Christian for comfort must know the distinctions between law and gospel. The law can guide us as believers in our Christian life, but we must never confuse it with the good news. When we were saved, we were saved by grace. When we were saved, we were saved by Christ. When we were saved by the gospel without any works, as poor, needy sinners. And after conversion, when we don't see that righteousness of the law in our life, which we would like to see, we must not waver in our confidence in Christ. And we must not build our assurance on our performance. And so we struggle against sin and we struggle to keep the commands of God. But we do not despair. Because the gospel saves us, not the law. And so we must clearly understand the distinction then. And how then must a Christian think about law and gospel? How must he think about these things in his mind? And that's what I want to deal with this morning. What is the difference then between the law and the gospel? And I remind you, when I refer to the law, I'm talking about the moral law. Not the ceremonial law, not the judicial law, but the moral law of God, which is everlasting like himself. What is the difference between law and gospel? Well, the moral law proceeds from the moral nature of God, from his holiness. It proceeds from the Lord to us as his creatures. The gospel, on the other hand, proceeds from his grace, from his mercy. That's a clear distinction. The law of God proceeds from his holy nature. God, you see, is holy, just, and good. He made creatures. He made them in his image, moral beings like himself. And he requires them to be holy, just, and good. And the standard by which they are to conform themselves is to his holy, just, and good law. So it proceeds from God's holy nature when he makes every moral, rational creature. He cannot make a creature without law. He cannot make a creature contrary to his moral law. He makes creatures holy. With the moral law of God in them, for them to be conformed unto. And it is always God's requirement to his creatures, be ye holy, for I am holy. So that was God's requirement. And that could never change. That could never change. He says that under the law, and he says that under the gospel. Be ye holy, I'm holy. And so the law proceeds from his holy moral nature. We have sadly broken that law, and we are sinners and rebels against God's holy moral nature. That's the truth of the matter. The gospel, on the other hand, proceeds from God's love, from his grace and from his mercy. Of course, it corresponds to his holiness and his justice, but it really comes from his love and his grace and his mercy. By grace are you saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The gospel flows out of his love. The kind nature of God. Of course, in a way of holiness, as I said, but proceeding from his heart of love and kindness. And thus the law is before gospel. And gospel is after law. That's another difference. In order of time, the law is before gospel. You see, because whenever God creates creatures, they don't need the gospel. He makes them holy. They just have law. They just are to keep the law. He makes them holy. And so when he made the holy angels, they had moral law. They had obligations. They broke those obligations. They sinned, many of the angels. And Adam did the same as well. But there's no gospel whenever God created. Why? Because there was no sin. That's why. God didn't create sin. He created creatures holy. They could sin. They had the potential to fall, and they did fall. But he didn't create them with a fallen nature. He created them with a holy nature. And so law is before gospel, and gospel is after the law. The law came to Adam as a moral creature who broke that law and sinned, and then the gospel after that came to him. But only after he sinned it came to him. Gospel comes after sin, not before it. In the order of the working of it in time. God didn't have to create man, but when he did create man, he had to create him holy and under moral law. And likewise, God doesn't have to redeem man. But if he does redeem man, he can only do it out of his love and grace and mercy under the gospel. So law is different from gospel, isn't it? It comes from a different source. And in order of time in our world, law is before gospel and gospel is after. So they're different, aren't they? There's a distinction between the two. Very clear distinction, and we have to always keep this in our mind. And then also, law is known by nature, but gospel isn't. Law is partly known by nature. Of course, the Bible reveals the law as well, and it gives us a reiteration and a repetition of the law in a written form, but even before God did that, law was in the heart of man, broken and shattered to pieces by the fall, but there's still the law in the heart of man. People know right from wrong. And there's conscience that bears witness to the right and wrong doing. I know it's corrupted, and there's a lot of blindness and darkness about it all, but shattered in there is the broken law in the nature of man. I mean, the most primitive tribes in the earth who have never had one letter of the word of God know it's wrong to kill. They know it's wrong to steal a man's wife or a man's property. They know that life is sacred. They know that property is sacred. They know that God is to be worshipped. They know all of this. Why do they know all of this? Because the law is written in their hearts by nature. And so the law is known partly by nature, but the gospel's not. The primitive tribes may know something of right and wrong, and you have to worship God and you have to be right with God, but they don't know how. They don't know about a Redeemer. They don't know about the gospel, because that doesn't come by nature. That comes by revelation, by the Bible only. Adam, whenever he sinned, he knew nothing about gospel. He thought that was it. But then God came walking in the garden and said, a Redeemer will come. I'll send a Redeemer, the seed of the woman. And so he preached the gospel to Adam. But the gospel is only revealed by the mouth of God, by the word of God. It's not in here by nature. That's why we listen to the law easier than to the gospel, because there's something about the law in here. It wants works. It wants to do to be right with God. And you can't convince the sinner of the necessity of Christ and of salvation and a Redeemer, because there's nothing in him. There's nothing in him that will help him in that regard. We know the law by nature, but not the gospel. It is only revealed in the Word, and it must be revealed by the Holy Spirit in our heart. That's why a sinner can't believe the gospel. There's nothing in him in nature to believe it. There's nothing in him to help him believe it. He's depraved. He won't receive it. He's in darkness. And he needs a revelation, not only in the Word, but he needs a revelation made to his mind by the Holy Spirit. So this is the difference between law and gospel. The gospel is not in us by nature. The gospel was revealed after sin and after the fall. So the law addresses us, brethren and sisters, as moral creatures made in God's image, but the gospel addresses us as poor, needy sinners, helpless sinners. And that's why it's good news. And that's why it's so wonderful. It addresses us as sinners. It addresses us as law breakers. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But then there's another difference. And I hope you're keeping these things in mind and distinguishing and discerning the difference for your comfort. The commanding power of the law is different from the calling power of the gospel. The call is different. The power of each is different. The law is powerless for us sinners, but the gospel is mighty. It's powerful in the Holy Spirit. What does the law say? You know, you can sum the law up in one word. In fact, two letters of one word. The law says, do. That's the law. Do. Always do. And if you do, you'll live. You'll live. That's the promise of the law. And of course, that's pretty powerless on us sinners. Because it comes to us and says, do and live. And we're dead, we can't do. And how are we going to live? And yet people want to be saved by the law. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ met this young man one time. He was such outwardly a good young man. He didn't even know he was a sinner. And you remember this young man came to the Lord and said, good master, what good thing shall I do? As if he had done everything already, and there's just some good thing that he has to do just to make up the shortfall for eternal life. And so he says, what good thing shall I do? Well, immediately in the ears of the Lord, that rung an alarm bell. Do is the law. And so here's a young man who wants to do to be right with God. And so what does Jesus say? Does he say, believe in me and be saved? Did Jesus say that? No, there's no point in saying that. This man doesn't even know he's a sinner. This man has to go to Sinai before he can go to Calvary. And Jesus didn't say to this young man, oh, believe and be saved. You know what Jesus said? If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. I'm sure that raised some eyebrows in modern evangelical circles that Jesus should say that to this young man. But he did. Because this man thought he kept the law. He thought he was perfect. Just one wee thing outstanding. So the Lord said, okay, you want to do and live, keep the commandments. And he said, which? And Jesus just gave him the second table. He didn't even give him the first table. He just gave him the second table. And all these I've kept. The man didn't even know he was a sinner. Will you enter into life? By doing, keep the commandments. Do and live. You want to do, then do. And if you do perfectly, you'll live. But what good is that to a sinner? The man that doeth them, Paul says, shall live in them. That's the law. It has command and it has promise. Do and live. Consequently, the law cannot save us. Because we don't do. And we've never done. And because we've offended in one point, we're guilty of all. So the command of the law has no power. It can't save us. It can't justify us. That's why the Bible so often says we're not justified by the works of the law. And it says that in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. The just shall live by faith. The law cannot deal with sin. The law cannot save sinners. It cannot take away sin. It says do, and if you don't, you're damned. It neither gives us the power to do, nor it takes away our sin. It is powerless. That's why Paul says the law is weak. Not in itself, because it comes from a holy God, but to save us as sinners. It is not the power of God unto salvation. It's weak. And so the law, the Bible says, made nothing perfect. The gospel, on the other hand, it has a different message. The gospel comes to a man and it says, live. All is done. All is done in a Redeemer. All is done in Jesus Christ. And when the gospel is preached, and the Holy Spirit comes to a man in the power of the gospel, that gospel says to him, live. And he's saved by the gospel. And he believes the gospel as the Spirit of God works in him. And he lives through the gospel. The law says do, but the gospel says Christ has done all. The gospel says be joined to Christ. Believe in Christ. Live in union and communion with Christ. He is your Savior. He has done all. He has died. He is a surety. Live on Him. Christ is your life, is the gospel. Jesus set this forth so often in the Gospels, didn't he, in John's Gospel? He said, I'm the bread of life. He said to that dead, dark woman at the well, and she looked at that well and she said, this well is deep. And Jesus said, you've seen nothing. I'm the deep well. He that drinks of me shall live forever. Jesus is the life. The gospel says then, believe on this Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Cling to him, drink from him, and thou hast life. Eat his flesh and drink his blood, and you have life. And so the gospel joins us to Jesus. It's a different in that regard, isn't it? And then it's different in this other regard as well. The law condemns us and cannot justify us, but the gospel justifies us and never condemns us. That's totally different, isn't it? The law condemns us, cannot justify us. The gospel justifies us and never condemns us. Never condemns us. For there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. The law, you see, is like Sinai. Exceeding loud in its condemnation. Telling us about the curse. Telling us about the wrath of God. Telling us about the anger of God. It's exceeding terrible in its sound. And sinners quake when they hear the law. It's condemnation. They quake. He that offends in one point is guilty of all. The law says. The law tells us we're sinners. The law binds us and brings us into the tribunal of God to be judged, and then it comes out and judges us, and then it trails us away to the place of the damned. That's what the law does. Tells us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And therefore, how can a man be justified by it? And so there's a difference, isn't there? The gospel is different because it doesn't sound like that terrifying trumpet. It's good news. It's a sweet sound to sinners. It's good tidings of great joy, which are to all people. If the law is the trumpet on Sinai, The gospel is the still small voice from Calvary. It's sound asleep. It has whispers of hope and grace. And for this reason, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring not the law, but the gospel of peace. The preachers of the gospel, publishing to sinners this message of reconciliation with God without the law, through our Redeemer. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring that sound. This is what the Bible teaches. You see, the gospel justifies, but the law doesn't. That's what our text says. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. It justifies, the gospel does, but not the law. The gospel tells us about the everlasting righteousness of Christ. It tells us about the precious blood that washes us. It tells us of the Spirit that regenerates. It tells us of the provision of grace that sanctifies us. It tells us of the hope of glory. Oh, it is a sweet sound to sinners. Poor, needy sinners who will come and fall at the feet of Jesus need not despair. They have all of this in Christ alone. Oh, how sweet is it to our taste. And so the law brings condemnation and judgment, but the gospel brings grace and glory. The law is Sinai. The gospel is Calvary. And then they're different in this regard. The law convicts us of sin and convinces us of sin, but the gospel tells us of the forgiveness of sin and of the blood that cleanses. The Bible says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the law tells you. You're a sinner. Because it says, honor your father and your mother. But you've got out of that by different means. And you haven't done that. And so the law says, you're a sinner. The law persuades us of our want of righteousness, but does not tell us how to get righteousness. The gospel presents us with a perfect righteousness. It tells us we have no righteousness, but offers to us our righteousness in Jesus Christ. They're different. The law wounds, but the gospel heals. The law shuts us up to Christ by telling us we have a debt that we cannot pay. And we have no choice but to fly to Christ, who said, I have paid that debt. The law shuts us up to Christ. That's why the Bible says it's a schoolmaster that leads us to Christ. Martin Luther said the law is like a stick. It beats us, driving us as poor, helpless sinners to Christ. And whenever we come to Christ, he makes it that law that has beaten us to him. Jesus takes that law which has beaten us to him. He takes that and he makes it a rod to aid us ever after in following him. That's what it does. The Lord Jesus doesn't take the law and say, oh, it's a terrible thing. Throw it away! No. By the law as a covenant, he beats us with it to Christ himself. And then, making us dead to the law in his death, he resurrects that law as a rule of life for us and makes it a rod to guide us. And so we are now under law to Christ. But he doesn't throw it out the window. No. That's the difference between the two. That's the distinction. Martin Luther was right. Luther also said the law is for the proud and the gospel for the brokenhearted. And that's true. The law puts us in the prison house of bondage and the gospel opens the prison house and sets us free. Different. And so I hope that this has helped you, people of God, to differentiate the law and the gospel. I am going to preach and expound the moral law of God in the coming weeks, God willing. But I want you to be clear, I am not preaching it as the way of life. Otherwise, Christ would be of none effect to you. And I don't preach the law like that. It's not the way of life. I'm not preaching it as the way of life. I am not preaching it as a covenant that you are to be under for life. I am not preaching it as something that you must be married to for life. I am not preaching it as it is, as if it is the gospel. I am not preaching it, mixing it with the gospel. I am preaching it, differentiating it from the gospel. That's the way I'm preaching it. Because they are not opposed to each other. They are not enemies to each other. They are both from God. I am saying, while both of them are from God, because you are a sinner, the law cannot justify you. Christ can. Christ does. Your Savior makes you right with God without all or any of your performances. Your Redeemer makes you right with God. Your blessed, sweet Savior, Him alone, makes you right with God. Child of God, always remember that you are married to Christ. You are justified by Christ. You are complete in Christ. He is all to you. He will save you. He will sanctify you. He will glorify you. You have nothing to do with the works of the law to be right with God. So I am preaching the law not as the way of life, but I am preaching the law as the rule of your everyday life. I'm preaching it as a rule for your walk with your Redeemer. And that is a way of law keeping and obeying and being righteous. Not for justification unto life. No, but because you love Him. So know how to apply the gospel, men and women, and know when to apply the gospel, and know where to apply the gospel, and know how to apply the law, and when to apply the law, and where to apply the law. Keep the distinctions. Keep the distinctions. You're not going to be able to serve Christ joyfully, which Jesus wants you to do, unless you keep these distinctions in your mind. So know how to apply either. If you are careless and impenitent and stubborn and wicked, if you were that, then you must apply the law to your conscience. If you were stubborn and careless, you must apply the law to feel your sin. And you must go to Sinai again to be reminded you are a sinner and you're nothing but a sinner. And so you have to apply the law if you become careless, or worldly, or regardless, in your walk with God, to see your sin. If on the other hand, you are sensible of your sinfulness, as all the people of God who are indwelt by the Spirit of God are, because the one who indwells us is holy, and we don't need only the law to remind us that we're sin. He reminds us, because He is holy and He dwells within us. So the people of God always have a sense of their sinfulness. If you don't know you're a sinner, I mean, if you really don't feel it, then you may ask yourself, does the Holy Spirit dwell within you at all? But being sensible of our sinfulness and feeling it, and knowing that we have no righteousness of our own and no strength to do, what do? We apply the gospel. We go to Calvary and we're comforted in the dying love of our Redeemer. Oh, the sweet gospel. That's why it's so wonderful even to be preached to the people of God. Because it comforts the people of God. So we go to Calvary. When we have any doubt about our salvation, then we must leave Sinai. We must leave the law and we must visit Calvary. And then when we have visited Calvary and afresh have seen the Savior, then we can go back to the law to know how we should walk well pleasing to Him. Now, this is a proper use of law and gospel. Not mixing them, not confounding them. So we should keep the law not for life, but out of life. Out of life. That's the difference, isn't it? If you're keeping the law for life, if you're keeping the law to be right with God, then there's something wrong. You're keeping the law legalistically. But if you're keeping the law out of life and out of love for the Lord Jesus, then you're keeping the law evangelistically. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants. Keeping the law not out of bondage, but out of liberty. Not with grief, but with joy and gladness. Jesus never says to us, keep my commandments and live. He never says that. He saves us by his grace. He redeems us as sinners. He takes us in. Yes, he lovingly takes us in. He causes us to feel his love. He causes us by his Holy Spirit to be assured of his love. He takes us in. And being filled with his love and that love shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost through the gospel, he then says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep them out of love for me. And when we fail, he never condemns us. No, neither do I condemn me. Go, go, but sin no more. That's Jesus, never condemning us, because the gospel doesn't condemn us. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Yes, when we sin and fail, he forgives us. He wins us again by his Holy Spirit, the true people of God. He melts us with his love and with his grace. Oh, the marvelous grace of Jesus. When we fall, he picks us up and gives us greater grace not to fall again. That's the gospel. And that's our Jesus. That's our Redeemer. That's him. So, child of God, remember this. Remember this. You love the law. You love the law with all your heart. But remember, you're not married to it. We died to the law in Jesus Christ. It's not our husband. Jesus is. That sweet Jesus is our husband. He will bring us to heaven. He will not condemn you, even when you fall. He will correct you, yes. He will do that. He will chastise you, yes. He will do that. So we're not under the law as far as this curse is concerned. You can see that you must keep this in your mind, people of God. I preach as your pastor this morning because I want you not only to go to heaven, I want you to go to heaven comfortably. I want you to go to heaven assured. I want you to go to heaven with joy. Because by that means, not only will you have a more comfortable journey to heaven, you'll have a far more Christ-exalting journey. You can't serve the Lord without joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And it is the gospel that gives us that joy. So know the difference. Know the difference between law and gospel. That's the distinction. Keep that in mind.